Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Scott Lawrence. Scott is a full-time headshot photographer based in Rochester, Michigan, my neck of the woods. His mission is to help people find the jobs they deserve and to help companies connect with their ideal clients and customers. He works primarily with local professionals and small to medium-sized businesses. And Scott has been in Michigan a little over a year now and has managed to successfully relocate his business from the Chicago suburbs. I'm sure that's an interesting story. Scott, how are you?
Great, Shamira. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And I'm excited to chat with you because, and I mentioned this kind of in the pre-interview chat, we're in, I don't want to say the same space, but very close to the same space as far as business, portrait, headshots. I'm also excited because you are in Michigan, so you feel my pain right now. If your weather is anything like mine, it's like, I don't know.
A little blustery today.
30 degrees.
Yeah.
It always stinks when I'm talking to someone from Florida and they're like, oh, it's 70. Or, you know, if they're in California, oh, the weather's perfect. Like, rub it in. But you feel my pain. Thank you for that.
That's right. Well, I used to live in Florida too, so I know Florida, but I'm happy to be back in the Midwest. So,
you know, I'll take the Midwest. We don't get the crazy, especially in Michigan. We don't get crazy hurricanes. We get the occasional tornado, but it's pretty manageable here, even with the cold.
That is true. That is true. We were actually lucky enough to dodge all the major hurricanes when we were there in the last, we were there for 7 or 8 years, and that last hurricane, not this most recent season, but the last season, actually, we found out that our old house had flooded. So got out. Timed that right somehow.
Yeah, just in time. Man, well, I know a bit about you. And like I said, I'm excited to talk about the photography business side of things. But first, I would like you to just give our audience an overview of yourself, your background, and how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Sure. Well, so I started, I guess we'll start in high school. From the photography side, I started with a good old fashioned 35mm black and white film class in high school.
Nice.
So I learned to process and develop and all that fun stuff and all the chemicals. And we actually set up a dark room in our, like, a spare bathroom, which my mom wasn't crazy about. It was a fun little project because my dad had done a lot of photography too in college. He had some things laying around that we put together, and we did a lot of that. Photography had always been kind of a hobby, and as I got out of high school into college, I studied, psychology, and all sorts of other things related. I did kind of a bachelor's of science in psychology. So I took a lot of, math and science and statistics and all sorts of things. I got a job in the insurance industry of all things, speaking of hurricanes. So I was in the corp. I actually started at, Progressive Insurance because I grew up in Cleveland. So that was a great, great job right out of school. Worked there for several years. And then, actually while I was there, I did a MBA. So I didn't really have any formal business degree, in undergrad, but I decided they had a pretty good program kind of offered right through work through Cleveland State. And so I did that, right after work. And so that was a great way to get kind of the business background, and that's been helpful. It was helpful both in big business and now in small business. And I've been on the extreme end of both sides of that stuff. So it's been good. Photography had always been a hobby. I had experimented with, family stuff and, you know, kind of the typical you know, shoot everything for a while and, you know, kind of figure out what you like. We were, my wife and I were in, when we were in Florida, we knew that we would probably be relocating, and I was with a different insurance company at that point, and you know, was less enthusiastic about, you know, the corporate world at the time. And I had always kind of contemplated starting my own business and thought that, you know, this might be the right opportunity. So as we prepared to move, I prepared my basically the foundations of what started my business. So basically, as we landed in the Chicago suburbs, I pretty much jumped in full time as a photographer. Started with, you know, no clients, I didn't know anybody in the town we were in. I mean, it was literally starting from scratch. And I was working with a business coach, for my own photography, you know, just trying to figure out a niche and kind of a plan of attack. And I had kind of been going back and forth between family stuff and I had started dabbling in headshots a little bit. And so probably the best thing that I did was basically create a dedicated headshot website. And that really, for all sorts of reasons, got me off to a great start, in Illinois. Things started getting, you know, started rolling, and I actually found a great, shared studio space in Illinois that actually popped up 10 minutes from my house. And so everything just sort of fell into place, and started networking, and just things started rolling. Now, it certainly wasn't easy, but it, you know, everything sort of fell into place, and you know, that was that. So did that for a couple of years, and then we realized that we'd be moving to Michigan. And so almost felt like just as I had gotten everything settled and stable and like I had enough business data to, you know, make some trends and that sort of thing, then we had to relocate to Michigan.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of starting over again. And the nice thing though there about was that I had, you know, basically the business in place, and I, you know, I knew what I wanted to do. I had a message, had a lot of work to show. And so I was able to kind of really hit the ground running here. So same thing, jumping into networking groups, that sort of thing, and chambers of commerce, and got the ball rolling pretty quickly. And that was about a year, just about a year and a month ago. So,
you know, what I like about your story is that you had to essentially start over from scratch. So you're in Chicago and you had to start from scratch, and then you moved to Michigan, and I guess it wasn't so much starting from scratch, but like you said, it was essentially starting over, even though you had a business brand and portfolio to show. Wow. Yeah. And okay, your background. I did not realize that you had an MBA. So
yep.
I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. Some of my favorite people to talk to are folks who have a diverse background outside of photography, because I have found, at least in talking with them, that you've been taught a lot of business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of photographers, myself included, especially those of us, I went to art school. Let me tell you, I didn't learn a thing about business in art school. You know, I learned art, cool art stuff, you know, photography and drawing and painting and woodworking and all that stuff. But as far as the business side of it, you know, I kind of really had to learn that for me by making all of the mistakes that you could possibly make. And so with your background, with you have an MBA and even your insurance background and your psychology background, has that helped you, have you found, in running your photography business?
It's definitely helped, but it was also a little bit of a double-edged sword getting started, because, you know, having this corporate mentality and, you know, being in the insurance industry is conservative by nature. So you're risk averse any way you can figure it. So for purposes of starting a business, and really kind of taking that leap, it was almost inhibiting in a way, in that I knew what I didn't know or should have in place, or, you know, so like, you know, I was worried about liability and liability insurance and all the business registration stuff and contracts and like all that like businessy stuff that I think a lot of photographers find out after they get rolling. And it's like, oh, I should probably get this in place. So I was aware of all that stuff beforehand and probably a little too sensitive to it. And that was a little bit of a challenge kind of getting over that. And, you know, it was really just a matter of telling myself, okay, look, let's just get started. And then, you know, I'll get this stuff in place. Like I know what I need to do to, you know, to handle all that. But it was just a matter of, it almost prevented me from taking the leap and from really jumping forward, because I was a little too cautious at times, if that makes sense.
You know, it does. And that's really interesting, because the flip side of the coin would be those who kind of just fall into it.
Yeah.
Or family and friends say, hey, you take great photos, you should do this professionally.
Yeah.
And then we go into it with no idea of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so with you, I kind of want to dive into how you got clients, because that is something that so many photographers struggle with. It's actually one of the most common questions that I'll get, or feedback, when people are writing to me about the show. And it's just, for some reason, it's something that photographers just struggle to do. And I know what I've done for my business, and our stories are also kind of similar, because I've been living in Port Huron for, it'll be 2 years Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And I had run a photography business before that, but moving to a new location, it was like I was starting from scratch, not portfolio-wise, but client-wise.
Yeah.
And so for you, what have you found to be the most effective ways to get new clients, or especially when you first relocated? Like, how did you get that ball rolling?
I think there's a couple of different directions, or a couple of different thoughts. From a practical standpoint, as I jumped into chambers of commerce and started networking, I did some BNI and mm-hmm. some other groups of similar format. And I mean, honestly, it was really just jumping in, meeting a few people, kind of scoping them out on Facebook, sending all those friend requests out, because I knew that was the way in, you know, in terms of a network, and then, or a local network, because mm-hmm. I had, you know, zero contacts in Illinois, or, you know, now Michigan. And so just little by little, I started to get the ball rolling of just making those just personal contacts, which, you know, they genuinely were new friends. But, you know, I had to go into it with a business mindset too, thinking, okay, how do I basically leverage these connections, you know, to start a business? And the one thing that I did then in just one client in particular in Michigan, as I joined a networking group here, you know, I realized that there's a lady that I was networking with, and she had grown up and basically lived in this town in Rochester her whole life. And so she knew everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And she was basically starting a new career herself. And so I figured, you know, I'm not a big fan of giving stuff away for free. But this was, you know, a pretty clear, you know, marketing trade. And so, you know, I offered to get her in the studio, and we did a great session. And, you know, that was like one of the ways that really jump started things. So as much as I, you know, I get a little flustered when, you know, people talk about having to, you know, give stuff away, I do think there's some, you know, if you can put some science to it and really, really leverage it, I think it does make sense, especially when you're starting brand new.
So you said you did a marketing trade. Were you upfront about that with her?
Yeah, I was pretty clear that, you know, hey, you know, as long as, you know, you're good with, you know, I'll be putting your images in, you know, Facebook ads and, plastering on my website and, you know, asking for some, you know, reviews or testimonials or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I knew she's a great person, and I knew she would, you know, she would respond accordingly, and it was, you know, it worked out well. And that led to a couple more people. You know, it just kind of, you know, she saw it was a great experience and she was able to talk about that. And because I found, and you maybe have found the same too, and that the, especially coming from Chicago, that the headshot market or the kind of the professional portrait market is not quite as established as it was in Chicago, or in, especially even in the suburbs.
Business headshots?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just not, I think in Chicago, like there, you know, you have the big city mentality and some of that marketing, sophistication just spreads out faster in the Chicago suburbs. And I think people are still pretty new to the idea of, you know, that, you know, you would come to a studio and spend an hour with a photographer to get a couple of images. Like that sort of blows a lot of people's minds here. And it's starting to change and there's starting to be some reception. But so that was one of the things too that I had to get over, and she was able to help convey that and say, no, look, he really, you know, I didn't think, you know, I got anything good. And she said, oh no, it was great. So that was that's been a kind of another side challenge.
You know, I really like that. There's something powerful about having a well-known face in your portfolio, especially when you're trying to make a name for yourself. That's something that I inadvertently did when I moved to Port Huron because I knew nobody. And so it's kind of like, what do? And so I threw a strategic headshot party / business networking event.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So music, food. And I told people, if you want a headshot, you have to pay the super discounted fee. But if you just want to come and check things out, then you can come for free and eat the food. And so what happened was that with Port Huron, everybody knows everybody. And so I had a full slate that night of headshots to do. And equally as many people came just to check things out. And by the end of the night, I had a bunch of folks in my headshot portfolio that they were well known in the community. And I didn't know that yet. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't.
So
I just
sort of fell into it. That's
yeah. Good. These are people I'm just kind of meeting. And so what I found was that in the months after that, as I was showing people my portfolio and getting inquiries and new work, we'd sit down together and they'd be like, hey, I know that person, or hey, I know her from my networking group, and oh, you shot her? It's like, huh. Like that, it's almost like why am I blanking out on the word? Not a direct referral, but like an indirect referral. When they see a friend in your portfolio.
Yes.
That just builds trust.
Right. It instantly adds a lot of credibility. And it really goes a long way. It's amazing. Cause then it, you know, one leads to another and then sooner or later you get enough of a mass built up where, you know, you're starting to really be talked about. The other thing too, I would say, first I would say that one of the observations that I see a lot with photographers and just in kind of general marketing is that, you know, we see, and not, you know, I can fall into this trap too, is that we seem to market often just too much to other photographers. So in growing new businesses, I was trying to be very cognizant of, you know, who is my audience, and, you know, I don't need to be on, you know, I use Instagram or, you know, but I just in the way that I use social media, I'm trying to speak to potential headshot clients, not photographers. Right. I'm happy to have photographer followers, but it, you know, they're usually not going to hire me for a headshot. I will say though that one thing that helped kind of get things rolling from the photographer market was actually that when I decided to specialize in headshots and really kind of narrowed that focus, I found that I was actually getting more referrals from other photographers, either for their own headshots or for clients that, you know, maybe it was a wedding photographer and they thought, oh, I, you know, and they weren't really crazy about doing a headshot for somebody like that, you know, they was kind of a favor and they're like, oh, I really don't. I mean, you know how that goes, where you get a job and you're like, well, it's like I could probably do it, but it's not your favorite. So I was getting actually a lot of those, and that's still happens today, that by carving that niche and say, you know, I am this kind of photographer. Cause I found here, especially more in Michigan, that there was less specialization among photographers. And so that was another thing that helped me really carve a niche to say, here's what I do. thanking me for this, almost to the fact that it was like people didn't want to ask me to do anything else, which was, a good problem
to
have.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, it was kind of a double-edged sword. I had to say, well, no, you can ask me, especially for networking groups too. I try to say, just let me know if there's something I can help you with. Mm-hmm. But that was an interesting observation.
So if you hear me typing, I'm over here taking notes, and I'm so glad you actually touched on getting referrals from other photographers, number one, and then carving out your niche. So as far as the referrals from other photographers, because that can be a steady or semi-steady source of clients coming your way, did you get to know these other photographers first, or did they just find you online, and since you were the headshot guy, they just sent people to you, or how did you get them to refer work to you?
In Illinois, it actually worked out really well. I think I mentioned that there was this studio share. It's called the Studio Share Illinois or Studio Share Photography. Maybe we can put a link or something in your show notes. But it's a great little, basically it's sort of like a co-op, but there's one owner, and then you basically pay a membership fee. And so anyway, like that was so I joined this, and it was like perfect for the type of business I needed. Cause I needed a space I could set up quickly, be out in an hour, and it was great. And so through this, studio, I met a whole bunch of photographers very quickly, so it really helped kind of build that peer network that I didn't have, not being from the area. And so that quickly started kind of that referral base of, they all knew that that's what I focused on, that was my message, it was very clear. And so that was really helpful. And then here, when I moved to Michigan, there were a couple of friends that we had that were in the area. My wife had a friend or two in the area, and so I reached out to them and asked, send me your favorite family photographer or wedding photographer in the area. And I mean, that was really just kind of a shot in the dark, but that mm-hmm. actually worked out pretty well. So I've gotten a couple of leads from those photographers, and I actually had one do our own family pictures. So that's a tip too that I didn't realize would be as effective, but it sure worked pretty well, just to say, hey, who do you recommend, and then reach out. And some were a little more willing to come forward than others, but the ones that came forward, it was it was great, and they're trusted peers today. So
I like it. And also touching on carving out your niche and specialization, niche, however you want to say it. I can't tell you how many folks come to me and they'll say up front, well, we considered other photographers in the area, but you're the only one that specializes in business headshots.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said for having a website that is focused on whatever your specialty is, whether you're a business headshot photographer or a wedding photographer or a family photographer. And by the way, there's not just one type of wedding photography, right?
Yep.
There within that, you could break it down to so many different types of weddings. You have these cool barn weddings where they wear the cowboy boots. I love those. And then they have the super chic weddings. And so I like to tell people, this may seem obvious, but show the type of work that you want to get on your website.
Yep.
And it may seem like a no-brainer, but it's easy to fall into the trap of showing a jumbled bunch of images just because you like them. And I've done this for the longest time on my on my website. And this was back when I was living in Fairhaven, so a little bit south of Port Huron, and I was doing general family photography. I wasn't specializing yet. However, I had like these two random images of a couple cars. I couldn't even tell you what kind they are, but they were taken at the Detroit Auto Show, and like it was white background, the lighting was perfect, and I just loved those images, and I had them on my homepage for the longest time. Served no purpose. They were just like two outliers, and eventually I had to take it down. They're still some of my favorite images, but that wasn't really the work I was going for. And yes. So it's just so important to be super aware of the work on your site, and even looking at your site, Scott, as I flip through it in a slightly stalkerish way. I mean, your work is, it's on point, and it's cohesive.
Thanks.
And within like 2 seconds, I can tell what kind of photographer you are and what kind of work that you want to get. It's right. very well done.
And you know, as a client, I think, you know, you could see yourself in that look. I mean, that's, you know, there's not a lot of debate. I mean, certainly I can talk with a client and see if there's something specific they're looking for, but kind of the default is I'm assuming that's why they call me, because they like that look. And that's, you know, I almost think of it like as a product. Even though we're technically service providers, that, you know, you know what you're getting. And I think that really helps the whole transaction move along, where, you know, they know what they're, absolutely, they know what they should get.
I want to make sure we don't smooth over the mention of the Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm, and networking and BNI, because it's funny you mention that, because those were two things, the Chamber of Commerce and BNI, that I did when I moved here. And I'm a total introvert, and yet you kind of have to force yourself to get out there, especially when you don't know anybody. And I don't know if this was true for you, but I found it true for me in this area that when I attend, and this is still kind of true, when I attend Chamber of Commerce networking events, I'm usually the only photographer there. Now, there are other photographers who have joined the chamber, but as far as putting in the effort to go to the networking events, I had no competition. And so it became relatively easy to become known as that business photographer.
Yep. Yeah, there's a couple in the area that do a little bit of networking, but by and large, you're right. I mean, I find that most photographers don't network much, for, you know, a variety of reasons, but, right. But yeah, it's really, you know, when you look at all the realtors in the room and the,
insurance agents
and attorneys and, you know, all that stuff, you see that, yeah, there's not a lot of competition in some sense.
All right. And maybe the other photographers, maybe they don't need to. Maybe they're turning down work left and right. I don't know. Right. Like, I'm not trying to judge, but yeah, if you're trying to make a name for yourself, and you don't have to be a business photographer, by the way, even if you're a family photographer, you know, people have families.
Right.
These businesses in the Chamber of Commerce and BNI, they have families. And so I get sometimes an annoying amount of family portrait requests, which makes me consider, and I've started doing some, I don't want to call it annoying, but by request, I'll start doing family portraits. I have started, or senior high school portraits, when people request it of me. But yeah, I mean, I don't want people to think you can only go to the Chamber of Commerce if you're a business photographer, because not so. I believe you can be any kind of photographer.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm surprised more wedding photographers don't do the networking. You know, especially because you're generally going to have your weekday mornings free, I would think.
Right.
So yeah, and you know, there's all sorts of, you know, it's either somebody's getting married or they have kids getting married or nieces, nephews. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a huge range of a huge age range. And yeah, you never know what phase of life somebody's in. And it's not that, you know, I recommend every wedding photographer that I meet, I'm like, well, you should go check something out, or at least, you know, come occasionally to something.
Definitely.
Cause you do get, people will think of you.
All right. And it's kind of fun as well, you know, just getting to know people.
Yeah, it really, you know, and also just, I found from just being new to the area too, like it was nice just to start to know, you know, I could find a handyman or find an insurance agent or find a state attorney or something. You know, it was just nice to start to meet some of those people, or a landscaper, you know. So just at a personal level, you know, just meeting people in the community is really nice.
And I'll get regular email questions from listeners about BNI and which one was better, BNI versus Chamber of Commerce, BNI Business Network International. I should know this because I'm in it. Business Network International.
Yeah.
And I tell people it's what you put into it. BNI, it's a different investment. It is a little bit of a higher level investment than Chamber of Commerce, but you're the only photographer in that group of professionals. And for me, I have found both to be equally helpful. And it's all just about getting out of your comfort zone, putting yourself out there.
Yeah. When I started in Illinois, I mean, being in the corporate world, I didn't have a lot of, you know, I'm pretty introverted myself, and I didn't have to, you know, go to the networking events, you know, that sort of thing. Like, I just, it just wasn't part of my professional career. And so joining BNI was really helpful the first year because it really taught the kind of the networking fundamentals and how things really work and how to make it effective. And they're a little, you know, I mean, they're pretty hardcore in a sense. And it's every week at 7 o'clock in the morning or
so
something
early.
But yeah. You do, I mean, you're right. You get out of it what you put in. I'm not actually in a BNI group here. Our Chamber of Commerce actually has like their little groups that are modeled after BNI, but they meet every other week, and they're pretty effective. So I've been pretty happy with those for the moment. And I found too, as I get busier, it's, you know, the scheduling is always challenging. So we
touched on how beneficial it can be to carve out your niche, to specialize. Mm-hmm. Have you found other ways or methods that you have been able to make yourself and or your work stand out from the sea of other photographers in your area?
Well, the one, it's a challenge, and you know, the rates that I try to maintain, you know, are a little higher, especially coming from Chicago area. So right. That's always a constant struggle of pricing. I mean, that, you know, that's,
yeah, Michigan, that's pricing.
Right. And that's, you know, I mean, you know, but I do find that, you know, people that really view it as a business investment and, you know, that that's okay.
Right.
I would say, one thing I do too is on my blog, I actually like to kind of feature and highlight the client. So I almost make my blog pretty much a set of client interviews, which makes for a good kind of community resource. And almost by accident, I realized in Illinois, it started to build up some pretty good SEO traffic because I had a pretty narrow, you know, a headshot related stuff and for the town that I was in. So it actually worked. It was really interesting because I had done a good amount of Google ads with pretty good success, actually. And then all of a sudden, I realized people were calling me from just organic search, and I realized it was back from the blog. So that has kind of benefits on both fronts in that, you know, it features the clients. It helps them show their friends. You know, it's a good kind of marketing kind of referral engine, and they can kind of see – you know, they like, obviously everybody likes to see and share stories, and they're, you know, super effective for social media too, because people share their own stuff. Actually, that the woman that I was telling you about in the beginning with that I had started as one of the marketing projects here, she, you know, shared that post. So I did a blog post about her and talked about her and had her do my little, you know, very simple interview questions. She shared that out, and the Chamber of Commerce shared it out, and I think it had almost 3,000 views, you know, organically, which was like the most viewed, you know, post I've ever had, which I thought was great for a local, you know, local network. So I think it's, you know, it's making it about the client. It's highlighting what they do, why they do it. You know, and that starts to get, that seems to really get genuine interest and, you know, and organic interest in what you do and how you can help them.
So how often do you blog? Do you do it like after every shoot or?
I try to do it every, you know, I try to do 2 or 3 a month. It's, you know, it's a little hit or miss, you know, as I think a lot
you're
of people would say.
You're better at it than I am.
Yeah. So, and it kind of depends on the client. And I've had a bigger mix of corporate shoots now, and those are a little bit more difficult to blog. But right. You know, a couple of times a month I try is kind of the target, and that's a good number for me. The Chamber of Commerce just had like a big basically a community awards ceremony, and it's huge. There's like hundreds of people that come to this thing every year, and so I did some of the headshots for the winners, and so I use that opportunity as another kind of local SEO way to kind of sneak in there. So I, you know, I offered the interviews to the people that I photographed, and, you know, they got to tell about their business, and, you know, just, again, it's just kind of community traffic and kind of keep it in the backyard and that sort of thing. And that, I think that was pretty well received. And they're happy to, you know, I tell them it's free advertising. You know, you can talk about pretty much whatever you want. You know, we can tweak the interview questions to so you can highlight whatever you like about your business.
So I'm looking at that post right now, and this is really well done. I see you actually link to the Rochester Regional Chamber of Commerce. You link to the Royal Park Hotel.
Yep.
I mean, this is all SEO. And then you're congratulating the person, Sandy here, with a very nice headshot. And you do, you make it all about her.
Yep.
It's not an infomercial about you. You link to Cranes Detroit. Yeah, this is very cool. So when you send her the questions, I mean, do you just email her a list of questions? Or a lot of photographers struggle with blogging because it's so much work. And I blog for other people and I don't blog for myself like I should. So it looks like you kind of have a nice, clean, uniform way of doing this.
Yeah, I find that I have kind of those three or four core questions. And that, you know, that usually works pretty well. And as you notice, that, you know, stick in the, you know, a couple of links, stick in the business link. Mm-hmm. There's some community related event. I'll have a link in there for that too. But yeah, and it's a real authentic, I try to make it as authentic as possible. And it seems to work really well with SEO. Like it's not forced. It feels pretty organic as I write it. And I found too that with kind of that headshot niche, you know, if you're doing a very specific photography niche, it's not that hard to get ranked for, you know, pick your specialty photography in such and such suburb. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the Google SEO is getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Mm-hmm. But I really would second the advice now of, you know, just the idea of that, you know, just write naturally, write about the stuff you're doing. Don't force it and Google will pick it up.
Yes, you're motivating me to start regularly writing for my own blog, my own website.
It's tough.
It is, but it's powerful too. Having these, because your posts, a lot are like case studies as well. And I believe that helps potential clients. So people who are interested or considering in getting a headshot done by you, that allows them to put themselves in these people's shoes.
Yeah.
And it makes it that much easier for them to trust you.
Yep.
And hand over money. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's an interesting, and I've kind of gone back and forth with how much do you share or how much do you not share, like that you're giving away secrets, but just, you know, how much do they really want to know about the process? And I think, mm-hmm. you know, some people are interested, some people are not so interested. So it's kind of a fine line. And I think, you know, it's a challenge too, to try to make it not about specific photography, but more about, you know, what are these images doing? Like what, you know, what is kind of the end goal, not kind of beyond the image, like where are these images taking this individual? Like,
right.
That feels a little more, I don't know. I think there's a better marketing benefit with that stuff than opposed to just talking technically about that stuff. Like it's you know, I think you can get quickly lost in the details and then, you know, you'll get a hobbyist photographer in the audience and then you can kind of get derailed with technical questions and that sort of thing. So I try to make it more just kind of about the person.
Right. So we're coming up on the end of the interview, which makes me sad. But before we go, I want to make sure and ask, is there a particular photography resource, a tool that you would recommend to our listeners that would help them with their photography business?
There are a couple things. And I actually wanted to jump into one other question that I think you had sent before. And just, or we had mentioned maybe just in standing out. I was doing this big corporate project the last month, and it was about 200 headshots, so it's been quite time consuming the last month or so. But so I was working with basically the marketing staff in this organization, and they were also working with other photographers in other locations outside of Michigan. And you know, I was just doing what I thought needed to be done, and the staff were telling me how challenged they were with a lot of the work, just going back and forth with some of the other photographers. And I think a lot of it was just like basic, a lot just common sense kind of customer service type stuff. Thinking about when you're sending stuff to non-photographers, don't send them Photoshop files. like a lot of basic things. Wow. I was really surprised that that was happening. So, and I know everybody's, kind of at their own, they have their own clients and their own, everybody's working at their own pace. But think about really, what your day to day, what your audience is and, what sort of things they're going to know how to do and open and that sort of thing. Like that's huge. Like, this organization just thought I was great. And it's like, you just try to make their life easier. Like that's pretty much the goal. And if you can do that, they're happy to bring you back.
I am so glad you brought that point up. It goes such a long way.
Yeah, it really does. And I don't, I don't want to, I don't want to pick on anybody, but I'm assuming they're otherwise competent images, but I think that
right.
That really sets you apart. And that's what's going to get you hired or not hired again is kind of that, when they think of you, was he or she able to turn these things around quickly, get me what I needed, answer my questions? That makes all the difference. Right. So let's see, your other question was other resources. So I think I had made a couple notes for some kind of less trafficked options for photographers. The one thing that I would suggest people take a look at is the website strobist.com. And that's been around for 10 years at least. Yeah. And so that's run by a photographer named David Hobby. And he was a former photojournalist, I think for the Baltimore Sun. But he was able to essentially successfully kind of reinvent his career through this blog. And he does a lot of other things now too, but he's got a lot of really good lighting tutorials. He's got these, he basically breaks them up into lighting 101, 102, and 103, I think. And they're just, blog post length posts, and he just takes you through all sorts of different scenarios, and it's just a very step-by-step process. And it's not super flashy. It's not a lot of fancy YouTube videos or, overproduced stuff, but it's just very nuts and bolts stuff that can really teach you a lot about lighting. And I found really as not only with headshots, but kind of in this like small commercial setting that I kind of work in, that the ability to really work in a conference room or somewhere with really lousy lighting is super helpful. So to the extent that you can kind of figure out lighting and speed lights and stuff in a conference room to make anything look good will really help you stand out. And the other thing I would suggest that I'm trying to give myself a little more self-study is the website Coursera, I guess. So that's the online education. I forget, they're called what's the term that they use? I can't remember what it is. But it's basically, essentially like college type curriculum in an online environment, and you can sign up for the classes, and you can kind of work at your own pace. You can do the quizzes and tests and stuff if you want, or you can just kind of watch their videos. But I've been trying to look at some more like either art history or, I've been trying to, as I learn InDesign, I've been trying to do a little bit more design type stuff. So there's a bunch of courses on design and typography and that sort of thing. And so I found those are like a good, like, basic kind of foundation for a lot of things that we do. And it's kind of no glitz, very simple, more lecture format, but very good stuff, very good content. And the professors are of course very good, and the lectures are very very in depth, and you can learn a lot. And I think it's a good way to kind of expand your skills, out a little bit outside of photography. And then I'd always, especially with the design stuff, I mean, that certainly helps your photography, but it can never hurt when you're coming to, help people design business cards or websites or anything like that. So those are kind of my two a little bit divergent suggestions, but I've been trying to spend more time on those sorts of things.
This is great. I'm looking at Coursera, and I haven't taken their courses, but I've heard of them. They have high quality material.
Yep.
I'm seeing Johns Hopkins University,
yep.
U of M, Stanford.
Yep. Yeah, it's
so,
a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I will definitely include it in the show notes.
I mean, I wish I could spend more time on it. It's you can learn a lot. You really can.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, my final question, but one of the most important, I believe, tell us where we can find you online as far as your website or
sure,
any other
the
URL.
Biggest, probably the website is just scottlawrencephoto.com. And then you can find a link to that magazine if you wanted to check that out. That's at the bottom, or there's a link there on the bottom, or you can just go to magazine.scottlawrencephoto.com. And then Instagram or Facebook,
nice.
At Scott Lawrence Photo.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, just thank you, Scott, for just chilling and chatting with us and being so transparent about how you've grown your business. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Shamira. Yeah, it was great talking.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.